And thank you, Picker. I like hearing that song. Good morning to all you folks out there listening. My name is R.T. Lowe, and you're listening to Gateway to Cleveland here on KTHG 97.1, your country legends, Houston, Cleveland. Gateway to Cleveland is a public affairs program. We try to have someone from the greater Cleveland community talk to us about things that are going on. And there's not much more involved in the community than the Cleveland Independent School District. And we're lucky enough today to have our superintendent of schools at CISD, Dr. Daryl Myers. Do I still have you on the line, Dr. Myers?
Yes, sir. I'm here, Mr. Lowe.
All right. It's RT still.
All right.
All right. Now, I've grown to know Dr. Myers. He's gone through a lot here in Cleveland, including a bond election. And if anybody's ever been involved in that, they know that how hard that is and how much work goes into it, because the taxpayers definitely want to know why they're should spend this money.
Right. So,
and we're going to be talking a little bit in a little while about some of the things that they managed to do with that bond election. But first, let us, Dr. Myers, if you don't mind introducing yourself to the people that may not know you out there.
Sure. Well, I'm Daryl Myers, and I'm the superintendent for Cleveland ISD. And this is my 20th year as a superintendent, about my 36th in public education. So been around East Texas for a while.
How long have you been with Cleveland now?
This is my third year at Cleveland.
I tell you what, for three, it seems like you've accomplished at least 6 years worth of work in that.
Well, I tell you what, it's gone quick. It doesn't seem like 3 years. It seems like it was just yesterday. But I think that's the way it is as we mature.
And it doesn't slow things down when they've got something for you to do every minute of every day.
No, sir. It's plenty busy here as far as the school district is concerned.
You want to explain to people a general idea of the Cleveland School District, where it's at and such?
Sure. Well, you know, we're probably 50 miles or so north of Houston, 45 or so, and right up 59 between Livingston and Houston. And our district itself is pretty elongated district, and a lot of our kids live, you know, maybe 25 miles away from the campuses. So we cover a big area as far as depth of the district is concerned. And we have 7 campuses in the district at the current time. And right now we have about 4,773 students in the district. So we're a fast growth district, mid-sized fast growth district, and it's taking some adjusting to that from being a rural small school to being a fast growth mid-sized district. It's quite a different mindset.
Yeah, and that's what we're actually going through. And I use we, folks, because I've lived in Cleveland. I'm a Cleveland High School graduate from a few years back. It has changed from the rural district, and things have changed along with that. You know, things that we could do back then you can't do now, you know, because of changes in society. You probably don't let the guys or the girls bring their 22s or 410s in the back so they can go squirrel hunting after school.
No, that's kind of frowned on these days. I think, RT, when you and I were in school, that was pretty much the standard when you lived in a rural area. But given today's society, we don't encourage that. Actually, it's frowned upon. So we all live by different rules in school business than we did when we were going through school.
Yes, and to change that, a lot of the areas where I would go squirrel hunting, there's now wall-to-wall homes.
Yes, sir. We are really growing as far as developments in the Cleveland School District. To my knowledge, there we have over the last 5 years and those that are coming up, there's 14 different developments in the district as far as housing developments. And, you know, the Parkway, 99 Parkway, that goes around Houston is going through the southern end of our district. So we see a lot of growth on the southern end of our school district around the Parkway with home sites and so forth. And, you know, it's the district is just booming as far as students are concerned.
Now, we'll get into the student growth in a little bit, but real quick, a lot of people may not realize that doesn't part of the CISD's boundaries butt right up against Harris County?
We do. Actually, on the southern end of our district, we butt up against Harris County and the Huffman School District. A lot of people don't realize that we go in behind, you know, Splendor and New Caney School District and actually adjoin Huffman School District on the southernmost boundary.
And we're speaking with Dr. Daryl Myers. He's the superintendent of schools for Cleveland Independent School District. It really is a district, an elongated district when you consider that we also go all the way up towards Shepherd.
We do. We go into San Jacinto County, actually. We have students that live in San Jacinto County. So it is, it's not a real wide district, but it is a very long district. So we do have a lot of kids that that live quite a ways from the school.
And we're speaking with Dr. Daryl Myers. He's the superintendent of schools for Cleveland Independent School District. Some of the things you have going on, didn't we recently go through an accountability assessment?
We did. You know, when we had our accountability ratings come out, we had all of our schools to meet standard with the exception of the high school. And our high school was rated as improvement required. And that concerned us, obviously, greatly. And we began to look at the writing test and what our students had performed or how our students had performed on the writing test. And we saw some discrepancies with regard to the way the tests were graded in our estimation. So we pulled a number of tests that we believed were actually passing that had been graded as failing, and we sent those back to be reevaluated, and we had 56 of those come back as passing. So
wow.
With that, it raised our accountability rating to at the high school to MET standards. So now all our campuses are at MET standard, which is good. But more importantly, those 56 students who actually passed don't have to take that test again with regard to graduation or what have you. So that was really good for our kids. We were really proud that we got that done. I will say that our district overall, even though all our campuses have met standard, our district is rated as an improvement required district. And that has to do with some of our subpopulations in aggregate throughout the district. We may not have enough of a subpopulation on one campus to be able to count in a particular accountability index. But as you look at it as a total district with all the campuses combined, then they may have enough to be able to count in that index. So the index that we would struggle with just a little bit last year was in the area of college readiness. And when we talk about college readiness, we just don't talk about the high school students. We go down to the third grade to measure college readiness. So it has to do with the number of kids that excel on the test as far as above and beyond the standard score. Anyway, to make a long story short, we got some work to do on college readiness, and we got some challenges there as far as the district. But as I said, all of our campuses have met standards, so we're proud of that fact.
Yes, and I can imagine the students and the parents are really thrilled to for those that pass,
because they are very pleased, I can assure you.
Because if you don't pass those tests, like you said, you don't get your diploma anymore, do you?
That's correct. You have to meet the standards of the examinations and the assessments to be able to to go through graduation. So it is a big thing for those kids and for those families. And we have so many families that are first-time high school graduates that it's a really, really an important thing.
Yeah. Now, I've got a couple of questions that immediately came to mind. How in the world can a third grader have anything to do with college readiness? And I know that's probably somehow in some kind of strange formula the state's come up with.
It is, RT. It is in a formula, and they look at the number of kids that meet a higher standard on the test than just the passing standard. And there is a formula for it, and it also includes what you're doing at the high school with career and technology education, and there's many things that are involved in it. It's pretty a complicated formula that they come up with, but nonetheless, we have some work to do in that area, and we've started addressing that, and hopefully we'll get that straightened out. It's kind of odd to have all your campuses meet the standard, but the district doesn't, but that's what we're faced with.
A lot of that may have to do with the other part I had a question about, and that would be you talking about the mix in the school.
Right.
It's no longer predominantly white with the minority black and minority of Hispanic anymore, is it?
No, our district is changing, and where we had predominantly our ethnic groups were white and black in the past, right now, our current enrollment, our Hispanic families students make up 61% of the students in the district. And, you can go down from there. The white students are at 28% and African American students are at 8% and then 3% are others. So the complexion of the district, the ethnicity of the district has changed significantly over the past 10 years or so. And when you add in with that, when you add in other factors such as economically disadvantaged students, and we're 82% economically disadvantaged, or those students are classified as at risk of graduating at 65%, you have some challenges there to really work with kids and to ensure that they have the opportunities that you want for them. Right now, 34% of our kids are limited in English proficiency. So we have a big language hurdle to overcome in working with those kids to ensure that they speak and understand English and being able to be successful.
And as you said, with the current makeup, you have quite a few students that this might be the first member of their family to get a high school diploma.
That's correct. A lot of our students that whose parents were raised in Mexico or whatever, they did not go through the high school setting. So we have it's a huge thing for those parents and for those families for a student to be able to graduate from high school. So they take it very seriously, and we do as well. So it's very important to those families, and we get a lot of support.
And we're speaking with Dr. Daryl Myers. He's the Superintendent of Schools for Cleveland Independent School District, and we are talking about CISD and some of the things that are going on there. And of course, here we are at Christmas, getting ready. This is the traditional break just before the midterm test, right? Or is it the midterm test going on before the Christmas break?
We'll take our midterms before the Christmas break this year, and then we'll come back and start a new semester. It's always a struggle with the calendar as to whether you break the semesters after or before the Christmas break. This year we're able to do it before, and looking at our calendar planning for next year, it looks like next year will work out the same as well, to where we can break our semesters up before Christmas.
And it is always a little bit confusing for the parents. They don't understand why one way or the other, but it's the way the weekend and the holidays fall.
That's correct. That drives the academic calendar for sure. It's always better for your kids and so forth if you can get those semester tests done prior to going to the holidays, as opposed to having them come back and have 1 or 2 weeks after the holidays and then have those tests. So we try to make sure that we can get those in prior to the break. Most years we can, but again, some years it's difficult to do that with the way the calendar falls.
And Cleveland has had a busy first half of the year, a lot of things going on. What else do you want to touch on before we get into the academics and the athletics and what all been going on there? Well, I guess we ought to talk about, if you don't mind me suggesting, what's going on with growth and building.
Right. And no, that's, I tell you what, that is a huge concern with our Board of Trustees right now, and really focusing a lot on strategic planning for the future. We have we've met with the developers on these subdivisions, and you know, by the way, when we look at those subdivisions that are going in, that total that we know of right now is about 18,600 lots. So when you're talking about that number of lots, just say, for instance, their projections, the developers' projections, are that in a 10-year build-out, which they believe it will be, that the district student population is going to be between 30 and 40,000. And that's hard to believe. It's really hard to conceive that. But we are seeing that trend right now. And, you know, when you look at the last 2.5 years, and not even all of these subdivisions that are out there, some of them are online and sold. Some of them are already platted and being cleared. And all of them are platted, but some of them are being cleared and ready for sale. When you look at those that are out there, they're only about 10 to 15% build on those right now. More along the lines of 10%. And just in the last 2.5 years, we've gained 1,119 students.
My goodness.
Or 23.5% of our student population. So, and this year is the most dramatic year. I mean, we're up 650 kids from May of 16 till December of 16. So you can see what's happening with the growth and what's going to come in the future, and I have no doubt that there'll be 20,000-25,000 kids within a Cleveland school district in the next 6 or 7, 8 years.
And we are going to have to start planning for that now.
Right. As a matter of fact, Monday night we are having a strategic planning meeting with the board that includes the developers, it includes our architects. And to look at a strategic plan to address what's coming in the next 5 to 10 years.
And we're speaking with Dr. Daryl Myers. He's the superintendent of schools for Cleveland Independent School District. For school districts that are going through this, and there's not many of them around the state, they're on the outside areas of some of the big cities, Dallas, Fort Worth, San Antonio and Houston. Does the state have any help, or is there much help from the federal government on this, or is this going to all work on the tax base that's here?
Well, obviously we receive funding for each student that attends school within the district based on attendance.
Right.
And as we build new schools, the state does have a program that you can apply for to offset some costs. It's called instructional facilities allotment. So they do have some help there. but it's nowhere near the help that's needed to be able to pay for the schools in the area. And, you know, that's going to fall back on the taxpayers within the school district to fund those schools from property taxes and so forth.
And you said we had a growth of about 600 students in one year.
That's, we did this, but from May of last year till now, or May.
That's a whole campus.
It is. It's you know, we've got portables, and the board is going to be buying more portables. And you know, when you think about that RT, you think about classrooms, but right. There's so much more involved in that when you talk about transportation and feeding kids and. Just the amount of waste and trash that you generate, you know, all those factors go into the cost of operating the school. That's a fast growth district. We've bought 12 buses in, you know, the last 2 years, and are still behind, you know, and each one of those buses is $95,000. So, you can see that there's a lot of capital outlay that goes into the growth, and really with the growth like it is, you're just mainly keeping pace with being able to operate, and that doesn't include any facilities. That's just the operation.
Right. That's what I was wondering about. And facilities. Obviously, we're going to have a place to put the kids, so your planning's ahead. And I will mention this, folks, because he gave me some instruction on this a year or so ago. You really have a lot of stuff that goes on. I think of when we talk about building a new school, I think most people think mainly about the classrooms. But that's about half of it, because you got libraries, you got lunchrooms, you got kitchens.
Exactly. It's you know, we're doing some projects right now to expand a couple of campuses to try to help alleviate some of the overcrowding that we're experiencing, and actually we're building the cafeterias and the kitchens, and then and media centers, and we're going back into the existing cafeterias and media centers and putting in classrooms where they were. And that's because, you know, like we talked about before, the growth in that school, those core areas will not serve that number of kids. So you have to build new core areas such as a cafeteria and then fill the others in with classrooms.
Yeah, that alone is a really big change. Excuse me. That's a big change for all the campuses. When you have more kids come in, you got to still feed them all. And you were telling me about how you, as it is right now, you have to have lunch for a couple of hours every day as you spread this out over, four or five classes.
Sure, it's tough, and we of course we rotate at the elementary school, and it may take at our elementary schools it may take a couple hours to get all of our students fed, just due to the enormity of the student growth that we've had. But you know, at the secondary schools too, you like to run two lunch periods as opposed to having three. So, there's a lot of factors that go in there when you start dealing with student growth. You know, one of the things that we're going to talk about is with this type of growth that's coming, we need a standardized plan for elementary schools so that we have a good, solid blueprint of what an elementary school looks like so that we can pull that off the shelf and be able to build it. You know, that's what you see in fast growth districts like Frisco or Salina, Hayes Consolidated. They have the blueprint ready, and they've got it down to a science so that they're not waiting on drawings like we've had to do with this bond project.
You got to get as far ahead as you can, because obviously The population isn't waiting for us to catch up.
No, sir, it is not, and we are in catch up mode right now. We're trying to do everything that we can to try to get ahead of this thing, but right now we are in catch up mode.
And we have about 4 more minutes here. I'm talking to Dr. Daryl Myers. He is the superintendent of schools for Cleveland Independent School District. With those final minutes, is there something in particular you would like to bring out, or a group of ideas real quick?
Well, you know, for our patrons, I would just say we're real pleased with our campuses and the performance that we've had academically. We have seen a lot of growth as far as our student population is concerned over the course of the last couple of years. And we've put in some things to deal with our high percentage of limited English proficient students, and we're seeing some good growth in those areas. So we're real pleased with that. Of course, our extracurriculars, we're going strong. This year, you know, it's our first year for soccer. We've put soccer in, and I was by the practice field yesterday, and, you know, we've got 40 kids, 40 males, students that are out there on the soccer field, and didn't have an opportunity to see what the female team looked like. They were on a different field, but, you know, just the change in our district means that, you know, we have to change some things that we do. So I'm real proud that we're able to do soccer and that we've got so many kids that want to participate.
Yeah, I would think that that could be a real strong point for Cleveland's athletic program.
I think you're exactly right. If you come by any of our schools on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon, you'll see a soccer game going on. So I'm looking forward to that for our kids. I'm real proud for them.
And, of course, the band went to competition.
Our band, obviously, is just always at the top. I don't know how Miss Christy Jones does it, but every year she is at the top of the heap when it comes to competition. And I think this year was some ungodly number of, like, 50 straight years of Division I ratings. So, you know, hats off to those kids. They always do a phenomenal job. And our band directors, Miss Jones and her staff, they do excellent.
And the ROTC program, is it still
going strong? They went out to San Antonio for a competition, a rocketry competition, and they won it. So I think everybody in San Antonio that was there now knows where Cleveland ISD is because they did a phenomenal job out there with that competition. So real, real proud of that program as well.
Well, Dr. Myers, I know you're busy as a proverbial one-arm paper hanger, as they say. And I appreciate you taking the time out of your day to be with us.
Well, it's always a pleasure to visit with you, RT, and I appreciate your service to our community.
Okay, thanks for tuning in to Gateway to Cleveland here on 97.1, your country legends, Cleveland, Houston. And pick her key up at Flat Top and take us on home.